Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Castology. Hello and welcome to another episode of Castology. I am one of your castologists, Sane C. Weber, and here with me is none other than
Elizabeth Best.
And
the third and final castologist, Patrick Shearer.
The final. There will be no others.
Exactly. Ever.
We could think about doing a guest episode.
We did. And I've actually been, because I know a couple of people who are quite keen to guest, but they've been quite avidly listening. And so they were just wondering like how it would work. Like if they just are silent for the first half with the review of the
do
ones
they
we
have
did
their own
week.
Podcast.
Yes,
could we do a minisode interviewing them rather than including them on our normal?
Of course, ones? Yeah. That's kind of what I suggested.
Yeah. A minisode.
Yeah. So, I guess we wouldn't call them a castologist. We'll call them a
guestologist.
There we go. Writes itself. Anyway, so if you're joining us for the first time, each week we are going to recommend three podcasts. That happens at the end because at the beginning we review the three podcasts that we recommended last week.
It's kind of like a listen along podcast. So we hope that you will listen to the episode before and go, oh, that sounds like a good thing. Listen and then see if your opinions are the same as ours.
Absolutely. So last week we had a theme and it was religion. I did make the joke that it was for April Fools. And I forgot to mention the actual reason, which was the upcoming Easter season.
we just sound like bastards.
Yeah. Liz recommended Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
I did.
Pat recommended the Jordan B. Peterson podcast, specifically Psychological Significance of the Bible series.
Yes, because I'm sure like many of other people out there don't have a religious podcast that I listen to specifically.
Yes.
Although, actually, no. What had happened is that the two most sort of religious-focused podcasts I already recommended. So what was there to do?
What are you going
to
do? I mean, you could always recommend a podcast specifically about cults. Like me.
Like you.
Or you could go looking for a podcast that was religion adjacent and kind of blasphemous, but awesome because pop culture.
Pop culture. So my podcast about cults was called Zealot. So which one do we want to talk about first?
Zealot.
Let's talk about Zealot.
What did you think? So I suggested the Universe People.
You did. And this is the first time I've ever heard about the Universe People and I'm glad I know about them now.
It was a new one for me as well when I first listened to it, and it was The Family for
which
Liz.
I had heard of because of my prolific true crime, but nonetheless still enjoyed it.
Did you find anything new about them?
A lot more detail than I'd gone into previously, and I had been meaning to listen to Zealot for a long time, so I'm glad that you put it on my list and prodded me into it.
You're welcome.
Specifically with The Family, I really liked the way Joe, and I think it was her sister was the guest on that one.
Yeah, Shelley.
Yeah, I loved how every time they were talking, because the family were from Victoria, so I loved every time they were talking about it, they put on the Victorian... Because I have Victorian grandparents, and whenever I stay there, they're like, shall we go to the South Yard Tennis Club for lunch? Yes, I'll just have a shower first. As a Melbourneer, former Melbourneer, Queenslander now, I laughed heartily along with those characterizations. But yes, the detail of the family that they went into was fantastic. Some of you might have seen stuff about the family before. They were that cult that had all of the kids all looked like Children of the Corn. Kids, yeah, they all have the same like white blonde bowl cuts, all in the same blue tune. It's creepy, so creepy. And she made out like, oh, I'm adopting all these children and doing such a wonderful thing, but actually you're abusive as fuck. So loved it.
People are great.
People are so great, and nothing proves that more than cults.
Well, the people in my cult didn't seem that terrible.
Well, Patrick pretty is a, benign. Patrick is a future cult leader, so
yeah.
This makes
so I'm
sense
trying to lay
me.
The groundwork. Yes, that I'm trying to normalize cults.
Yeah, and figure out what is acceptable and what isn't. What boundaries can be pushed.
This is more of a hilarious cult.
Mm.
Yeah, it's more absurdist.
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about the universe people before tuning into this. Yeah, it was like you said, it was very detailed, very informative, and quite funny at times too.
Mm.
Well, particularly with the content that they were.
Yeah.
Covering.
Also, she does, she tends to get on comedians, et cetera, as guests for some of the other ones. But yeah, she has a lot of detail because, again, she's writing a book out sometime soon.
I think it's already out. I think it just came out.
Excellent.
So what turned her onto this? It was just fascination, or is she an escaped cult member? Or
I think it's just fascination because, like, Liz, she's a true crime fanatic. And
I'm not a former murderer.
Are you going to work on a book, do you think?
Yeah, look, I'll put out my experience with true crime podcast. I'm sure everyone will want to read about that.
Yeah, no, of course. So I guess the question is, did either of you subscribe?
I have. I liked it because it's casual. I like a nice casual yet detailed and researched – not research within an inch of its life like case file research, but it's just enough that I can put it on while I'm doing other things and still take in a heck of a lot of information.
Well, see, I think it is research to within an inch of its life, but it's not presented that
way. True. Maybe it just feels more relaxed.
Because I've recently listened to a few of the episodes kind of back to back, and more than once she just kind of says, oh, in my notes, and goes and gets something else and then presents that as well that she hadn't planned on talking about. So yeah, I think she is holding back some details because either for the format or for the book, but yeah, it is very informative.
Yes, I think that's an accurate descriptor now that you mention it. She did seem fully well informed, but it was a casual environment, so very digestible.
Yep. Did you subscribe?
I did not subscribe.
Surprise,
and I'll tell you
surprise.
Why. Not that I didn't like it or anything, but it's just too narrow a lane for me, I think.
Yeah, all right.
It's just cults.
Unless I'm in one, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What, you don't want tips for your future cult?
I don't know if I'll get...
Some people have been very successful with their cult starteriness.
Cult starteriness.
Pick the writer. You could get some pointers.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I will consider it. Mm. I like the guy who lives in North Queensland who says he's Jesus.
Yeah.
Do they do him?
I don't think so, or not yet. Does he have much of a cult, though, or is
or
he
is just
a guy?
Like a one-man Jesus?
Well, I don't know if I've heard about him. I feel like he must.
Yeah, but you can hear of lots of lone psychos.
But yeah, but I didn't hear about him from like someone
that
I knew. Did
you hear from his disciples?
I heard from like a podcast that I was listening to that's an American podcast. So if they've heard about him, then
the most recent one they've done is a guy who regularly communes in the biblical sense with the Virgin Mary.
I see.
And she kind of leads his cult.
What I could perhaps do is eliminate a cult leader and then just present myself as a reincarnation of that person.
Then I could cover it in a true crime podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, all the groundwork has been done.
Yeah, sure.
I can just swoop in and reap all the rewards.
Yeah, I'll do your marketing. We're set.
Great.
Okay, well, maybe I should edit this recording or just keep it and hold it over you so that I get all the rewards for your cultness. So no surprise that Patrick did not subscribe. But Patrick, you said maybe to two podcasts recently, and I think I want to hold you to answering yes or no. Because you said maybe to The Dollop and you said maybe to Liz's suggestion.
Yes, what was it?
It was...
What have we done in the past?
Was it Sugar Baby Confessionals?
I don't think it was the Sugar Baby Confessionals.
No, it was something else. It was
Dropout?
Yeah, I think I planned on finishing The Dropout. But that's not something that's going to have a long-term subscription, I don't think, is it?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. There was a possibly... Anyway, we'll listen
like
back
those
and
both.
Figure it out.
So I guess the answer's no.
Not yet, no.
No, not.
See, what's happened right now is I've switched over podcasting apps.
Right.
Because I've found, years ago I used this app, Podcast Republic, but now it's got a new feature where you can set an alarm to wake you up in podcast form. I don't know if it's buggy or if just like I'm waking up at 6 15 in a groggy haze and turning it off and then going back to sleep and then being like, why didn't my alarm wake me up? But I'm trialing that out. But right now I've got like a bank of 50 podcast episodes to get through on my previous app, Podbean. So
good Lord.
Difficult to make time for these subscriptions.
I understand.
Determined to make you subscribe.
Oh, you'll get me eventually.
One day it will happen.
One day.
It might even be the one that I'm presenting today. Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, speaking of the one you presented last week.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
Gents.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
I find the format a little jumpy aroundy.
Yes.
Maybe they'll find a bit more smoother going in. I haven't subscribed, but this is one I'll check in on every now and then because I think it is a kind of a candy that you can have sometimes.
That's what I thought. And yes, they do get a bit more polished. Like it's almost like at the start they weren't entirely sure what they wanted it to be. But as they go on, it kind of gets a little bit smoother and they get into a really nice pattern where you know what to expect. The candy.
I'll listen to a few more episodes.
Yeah. Especially if you're a Harry Potter fan. Like it's nice to kind of relive it but through a different lens.
I've never characterized myself as a Harry Potter fan, although I have read all the books, seen all the movies, and I know all of the silly, silly things that J.K. Rowling has said and done.
It's like nobody asked for it. Stop talking.
And the conspiracy theories. You're done. But still, it is very interesting to kind of see this kind of text examined in this way.
It made me wonder what other like cult hits, like could you do that with Game of Thrones and can you, you know, do that with
probably, you probably could with Game of Thrones. I think it would be a little harder to do it with Game of Thrones because it's not, the morals aren't so set down in Game of Thrones.
The morals are a bit twin-sethy.
But you could definitely do it with like the Goosebumps books. I think you could do it all like, any of those young adult sort of expansive series like the Babysitter's Club or whatever.
Oh, yes, let's.
I think you could do it with that. But it is. It's a really interesting approach to this sort of discussion about like learning lessons from literature.
Did you find it offensive that they were holding Harry Potter up as a sacred text? I know you were apprehensive about that.
My understanding is that J.K. Rowling did like a whole lot of research on the Bible and these sorts of mythological structures and stories that play out throughout eternity that we see manifest in a bunch of different forms.
So
it sort of lends itself to be interpreted that way, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what attracted me to it in the first place, just that not to Harry Potter but to this podcast in the first place was that I had heard that there was that kind of allegorical structure that she had really drilled down on when she was writing the books and I thought, ooh, these two things could actually go together.
Mm. Yeah. And like I'm not a religious person. I'm not particularly sensitive to sacrilege. I have been called a heretic a number of times in my life.
And you're okay with that?
And I'm okay with that. I own that. It is entertaining. Like at no point are they really comparing Harry Potter to the Bible.
No, in a real sense. It's like the emotional lessons and I can't even think.
Because the Bible is a series of stories from which we take meaning and parables, and Harry Potter is the same thing.
I think you have to try very hard to be upset by this.
Good. How did you feel overall about it, Patrick?
I enjoyed it. What I found particularly useful is the work, because I listened to the first two episodes, and I think they did chapter one through the lens of, no, chapter two was through the lens of loneliness, and chapter one was through the lens of,
I thought one was loneliness and two, I don't know, I don't remember. But yes, they pick particular themes to look at how it explores.
And then that
themes.
Just reminded me of, you know, some of us, all of us, we're actors, we take a piece of text and we're trying to get as much meaning out of it as we can and in many different ways to see if we can come up with something interesting. And I found that's what they were doing really useful to what I want to apply to my practice now.
Good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So yeah, just viewing any piece of text through the lens of this and see what you can make of it. That sort of clicked with me and I was like, wow, this is neat. I'm going to try this out. Yeah, I found it entertaining and ultimately useful.
Oh, wonderful. Mm. And you haven't subscribed,
no.
I bet.
I guess what you're saying is that it was an interesting exercise
to
take and use.
Yeah.
And I think it is entertaining to kind of dip into and out of. I think if I had subscribed to this, I might skip it like a couple of weeks running and then catch up.
Catch up in a binge. Yeah. To me, I'd want to listen to a bunch of episodes. That's how I like to consume it. It's a bunch of episodes at once and then I'll leave it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, all right. Well, the last one, the third, is the Jordan B. Peterson podcast, and Liz is bracing herself for
Patrick.
It.
Oh, Patrick.
Chomping at the bit.
You fucked up, man. You told me to listen to the Joe Rogan interview first, which I dutifully did with a very open mind. Then I pulled over my car and started madly texting Zane going, what the fuck is this guy on about? Mm. I was cranky texting on the side of the road. I think...
Well, at least you pulled over.
It's true. I did. I did pull over. I am a responsible driver. I needed to pull over because I was a bit filled with rage. I think if I hadn't listened to the Joe Rogan interview, I would have been more open to the Bible series. What was it? What was the name?
The psychological significance of the Bible.
Significance of the Bible. Yeah. So when I was listening to the Joe Rogan thing, going, keep an open mind, Elizabeth, he said a lot of things that pissed me off in terms of like when he was talking about, what was the one thing? He was talking about the patriarchy going, oh, everyone refers to it as the patriarchal tyranny. And what is this tyranny that everyone speaks of? And then talking about how, you know, when we do studies, when we allow people to have freedom of choice over what they do, the disparity between men and women in the workplace becomes even greater because no women want to do STEM jobs or engineering because they don't have that, well, I'll show you I can do it. And I'm like, oh, so you're advocating for making people not be able to choose what their career is to make them want to show up other people and do the man careers.
So,
and
that Liz.
Made me really cranky, Zane.
I experienced this about a week before you did. and I have in that time exposed myself to much more Jordan B. Peterson than I ever really wanted to, in the hopes that I could understand where he is coming from enough to, because I chose not to listen, not to subscribe to The Drunken Taoist because it was too much everything I thought.
Mm.
Jordan B. Peterson is very much everything I don't want to think.
Amen.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that particularly in the ones that you set us, which was the psychological significance.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I listened to was him on someone else's podcast or someone else's radio show debating about whether atheism is a real thing.
Right. I don't remember that one. I thought the first part of that lecture series was a lecture because it's a lecture series.
Yeah, I didn't start at the start.
Right, right, right.
I picked the one that I thought I could
stomach,
stand the most. And honestly, I like the debate format because you get to see how they relate to other people. And Jordan B. Peterson does not like to take others' ideas on.
No, he had a whole thing when he was talking about people being too attached to their own ideologies and how we need to think outside our own ideologies, but he won't fucking budge from his whenever anybody suggests anything that goes outside his point of view. And I was like, well, that's a bit hypocritical. And for somebody who uses the word hypothetically a lot, guy talks in absolutes.
Yeah, he certainly does. So his frame of reference is that, or at least his relationship to God and religion, is that no matter what you think, you're always going to be viewing the world through the lens of religion because that is just how humans are programmed. That is what he is putting forward in this series, is that humans have religion built into them.
Did you listen to the conversations he had with Sam Harris? That might be the one.
Perhaps.
Because they attempted that twice, and in the first episode both of them couldn't nail down what each of them were trying to.
Yes, yeah,
absolutely. They couldn't define truth properly because they were coming at it from different points of view.
And this is my problem with Jordan B. Peterson, is that his style of arguing and his style of presenting information is to set up an easily answerable question say that it's unanswerable, then obfuscate the question.
Yes. I felt like he was talking me in circles until I didn't remember what I believed anymore.
Yeah. And so I find his podcast specifically now, because I've gone back and I've listened to a lot of it, not just this series, is him talking at people and never reevaluating what he thinks or how he's presenting his information based on what he's saying, when so much of what he's saying is patently untrue because he's speaking directly to other people's experience, not his own experience, not statistics, but specifically to other people's experience. Other people's experience of religion, of their own gender, of their own relationships, of relationships between parents and children that he has no knowledge of. He's never met these people before, but he will pin emotions on them and then use those same emotions that he's pinned on them to say that he is right for thinking what he thinks.
And even when he did use statistics, and I went and researched some of the things he was using statistics, and yes, his statistics were correct, but he's cherry-picked them to suit the vibe and emotions of the argument that he's going for. Now, had I not listened to the Joe Rogan interview, there were quite a lot of things in the Bible series that he was going on about that I, you know, every five sentences there'd be two that I'd go, oh, yeah, okay, cool, and then he'd make me cranky again. But, I find the way that he talks really manipulative and that gets my back up. Big time. I tried so hard to go in open-minded.
Because both of us went knew of Jordan B. Peterson as a right-wing speaker, thinker, personality, and neither of us are right-wing personalities. We went into this apprehensive and honestly, he's worse than I thought he was.
Yeah. Really? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like the Joe Rogan interview was so problematic for me that I waited a day between listening to that and listening to the podcast because I wanted to make sure that I had cleared my mind of, you know, him making fun of the patriarchy being a thing that scares people. I wanted to give it a day because if I had have listened to the Bible thing straight after, I would have just been swearing at my – Well, I was swearing at you.
Yeah. I think because I had a similar sort of feeling and idea going into Joe Rogan. The very first one is kind of like I know – I've heard stories. I know what he's about. He's obviously said incorrect things before and got notoriety for that. But see, the same thing could be said about Dan Savage and the Savage Love cast.
I think the same thing could be said about anyone.
It's whether the person's going to come back in the next episode and air opinions other than theirs.
Well, or at least own up to say, look, I said this for these reasons. That might not suit everyone, but this is my reasoning. I might learn and choose otherwise. Jordan B. Peterson just keeps doubling down. There is just so much that I heard and saw interviews that I'm like, this is bad.
And the way that he was talking in some of his interviews, he actually was talking about how divisive and disliked he was. But the way that he was doing it made it feel like they were shaming me as a listener for not agreeing with him. In the first place.
That's the thing. He justifies the outlandish things that he says and the incendiary things that he says by saying the opposition, being the left-wing postmodernist. God, he loves that term.
Oh, he hates them.
He also loves calling victims. The
postmodern Marxists. Saying that they're radicalized and so he's totally justified in saying whatever he wants because they're worse.
Yeah.
And that's – yes, they have opposing views, but they're not saying that you need to be chained down and made to work. They're not saying that you need to be marginalized. They're just saying
– he won't even use the word marginalized though. When he's talking about minorities, he calls them victims.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, everyone who's a victim. And I'm like, no, they're minority groups. Like they're not – it's like, no, they're victims.
And when it comes down to it, a lot of what he says – is taking arguments that are given to him to answer to his questions and taking them to the absurd length and saying that, isn't this absurd? This is what they want. The example being what he first got notoriety for was his opposition to the Canadian bill saying that against discrimination on gender identity. And he said, he downright refuses to use someone's choice of pronouns. Of course. And then, of course, when he was interviewed that, he said, well, I'm going to say this and that's going to get me arrested if this bill goes through. And like, that's just not true. That's not what the bill is about. To do that, you would have to encourage people to kill these people who you are speaking out against. That is what will get you arrested.
Yeah. Look, I admire you for being able to listen to, I wish I had your internal fortitude to be able to do a deep dive like that to make sure that your opinions are the way they are. And I knew that today I was going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and be shitty about it. And I haven't done as much research as I should have because I just got so fucking angry that I couldn't. So I admire the fact that you went and did all of that just to make sure that your opinion and your instinct was, you know, not correct, but founded.
I can't forgive Jordan B. Peterson this sin. Because unlike Joe Rogan, the tangentially speaking,
Chris Ryan,
who both put forward opinions that I didn't agree with, but then explained why and then talked about what other people have said and kind of that started the discussion, Jordan B. Peterson does none of that.
Doubles down.
And and I just think that... I can't do it.
We have talked about this for a long time.
It's the longest episode ever.
We knew that it was going to be cranky inducing.
Yeah. But don't worry. We will save the rest of this philosophical discussion for off air.
Yes.
While we get on to our recommendations for this week. So, Patrick, do you want to
redeem yourself?
Redeem myself?
Yes.
I didn't know that I was in need of redemption.
Oh. Well, we'll save that for off air as well.
Actually, you know, you don't need the redemption. Jordan B. Peterson does. He ain't going to get it.
So what have you got for us this week, Patrick?
What do I have for you this week?
Do you remember?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's revisionist history.
Revisionist history, which sounds weird, I'm sure, to a lot of people. Because the word revisionist isn't usually a very good term to be throwing around.
Well, revisionist history is quite a colonial thing to say, Patrick.
But I've been meaning to listen to this one for a while. I'd heard it recommended to me from people and other podcasters and lists that I'd found. It's Malcolm Gladwell, which some of you may be familiar with. Did you ever read the book Blink?
No, I guess you didn't.
Then we wouldn't know.
Otherwise, I would know.
He's written many books. He's very clever, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. He is known, he was voted like top 100 most influential thinkers.
Something like
by
that.
Time Magazine.
But who does these lists?
Time Magazine.
But who are the people?
The bosses of Time Magazine.
So sort of very similar to, I guess, Radiolab and a lot of other podcasts that we've recommended here. Takes a piece of history that you probably don't know about and then talks about it.
Right.
In an interesting way. It's investigative historical journalism.
So it's
kind
more
of thing.
Is it more storytelling or
Yeah,
chatty?
But some of the episodes aren't like that at all. Some of them he gets guests on and some of them he'll interview people and some of them he'll not even have a piece of history that he wants to talk about. Like I've heard almost three different formats of podcasts, but I guess the main format is that taking that little piece of history and expanding upon that. And
yeah, so they're split up into 10 episode seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
cool. And how long roughly are the episodes?
35, 45
Ooh,
minutes.
I
sometimes
like that.
Sometimes in two parts.
I like shorter episodes because then I don't go, oh God, here we go. I'm in for a, I've got a, you know,
3 hours.
I can
gotta
kind
put
of,
3 hours aside. Oof. Patrick's assigned this podcast again.
I love the 3 hours.
I have, do you know
my
what?
My favorite episodes of like Joe Rogan are the 4 and 5 hour ones. Like he recently got Alex Jones on again for like 4.5 hours and it's just madness.
It's madness. Listening to podcasts at like 1.5. I can't do 1.7, but your podcast I listen to at 1.5 so that I can take them in the same way that you
That's
do.
That's right.
which came in handy because it made Jordan B. Peterson sound like an angry little gnome.
he's already known for sounding like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. I know, it was so funny.
He's embraced it quite
a bit.
Laugh
at him. But yeah, so when you give me a massively long podcast, I'm just like, cool, I'll be done with that and like – you know, instead of 3 hours, like, you know, nearly two.
Yeah.
Two and a bit.
So we're right just to pick our episodes.
Pick whatever sounds interesting.
Yeah, pick whatever you're happy with.
Easy done.
Interesting.
Well, I'll go next, shall I?
You shall.
So my recommendation is NRI Woman Podcast. So this is a submission. So this was submitted through our website, thatsnotcanada.com/castology. Now it is NRI woman is non-resident of India.
Right.
Woman. So it's specifically Indian and Middle Eastern women expats talking about their experiences as Middle Eastern and Indian women who are expatriated. And so it's kind of – it takes a very global view of the situation. It's very kind of laid-back chat. Sometimes it's in the same room. Sometimes it's like over Skype or whatever. Very kind of – it varies a lot from episode to episode depending on who they're talking to. Anything from politics to like specific like engineering fields to what it is like to raise three children – like it's very specific to the guest, but it's really well presented. So yeah, that's going to be my recommendation. I have put some specific episodes for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Liz is episode number 26, her STEM story.
Mm-hmm.
And for Pat, it is 27, A Girl's Faith. But if there are episodes that kind of pique your interest a bit more, go have a look. They're all pretty high quality, yeah.
Nice. And what's the length roughly of some of those?
Same, between half an hour and an hour.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of a laid back interview format.
And what was it when you were looking through the submissions list that made you go, "Ooh, that sounds interesting"?
Well, not only were they one of the first ones to submit.
Oh, well done.
They have a very significant social media presence, so it's very easy to see who they're talking about, what they're talking about, and then just the audio quality is great, and the quality of the interview is also really great. So, like, this is kind of the first one that was submitted that I was like, this is one that I'm going to recommend at some point. Is NRI Woman Podcast.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
So it's not aiming to be overly philosophical or like it doesn't have like a driving force. It is just kind of let's view the world through this lens of this particular group of people, which is a particularly broad group of people. And that's kind of what it demonstrates. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess I'll go next because I'm the one who's
last
left.
One. The final castologist.
So I've got to think of a good way to present this to you guys because when I was telling one of my mates about it, I got really excited and he goes, I kind of don't really understand why I would want to listen to this. So I was like, oh shit, better reframe this before I go. So what I'm recommending is a podcast called Imagined Life. Now, there's very few podcasts that I will listen to one episode of and then become obsessed with and binge the whole thing, but that's what I did with this one. So what it is it is a story told in second person of people that you may or may not know. And in terms of those people, I mean like celebrities, but not all Hollywood celebrities, just like what's the word I'm thinking of? Like prominent people in society and history and in pop culture. But it does it in a narrative way so that it's really interesting. But what is clever about it is that they don't tell you whose story it is until the very last line. So, you know, you've got titles like The Performer and The Trailblazer. And when I was telling my friend, he's like, what? So it's like a trivia segment where they're like, you were born in 1924. And I'm like, no, they tell it in a narrative way. So they'll be like, it's hot. you wake up and you can't stop sweating. You can't. You don't know where you are. And they have a really nice narrative flow.
So it's kind of like more like a biography.
Yeah, it's like a biography, but told in second person. Right, so it's you. Yeah, yeah. So it places you in the position of this person. And quite often, the stories that they've told up until they get to the end, they're the stories that you haven't heard yet, or that you may not be as familiar with. I know with one particular episode that I've recommended that neither of you will probably listen to because you don't pay attention to my particular episodes. One of them had a story that I had no idea happened to this particular person. So it's kind of like part biography, part game, because I found myself sitting in the car going, oh God, who is that? Who? And then you guess and then you second guess. And then when you get to the end, they have this really nice way of kind of picking up the pace towards the end and getting like building music under the end so that it's kind of climactic when they reveal who it is. I found myself to be quite good at guessing for probably – half of them that I listened to and half of them I was like, oh, I didn't. And it actually, there was one person who I didn't like who by the end of her story, I was like, oh, damn it. They made me like her.
Oh, no.
No, damn it. God forbid I opened my mind. So I've said a few that were my favorite rather than saying particular ones to listen to because to be honest with you, I've listened to all of them now and I enjoyed all of them. But I particularly liked The Rebel, The Trailblazer, The Performer and The Officer I think were my favourites. But really anyone and sometimes it's really a delightful surprise and sometimes you've known all along who it was but it's still nice to hear the extra part of their story. Yeah. So, yeah, that was my latest obsession. Subscribed after the first episode and they release one new one a week.
And would you recommend binging?
I enjoyed binging. I found myself really excited to figure out who the next person was because I was like, oh, it's a game. I'm playing a game with myself in the car and I love it. So, yeah, binge I would, yes. And then awesome. You'll kick yourself having to wait for new episodes, hopefully.
How often is the release?
I think it's weekly but it may be fortnightly because I haven't seen an episode pop up this week. But while I was listening, there was nothing left and then – two more episodes popped up.
Because I did stumble across this before you've recommended it, I must say.
Oh, did you?
And I'll save it for later. But it appears to be very well produced, so I'd be impressed if they did it weekly.
Yeah, well, I don't know how often it is. I do know that since I started listening to it, which probably was a couple of weeks ago now, but I've had at least two new episodes pop up, so maybe fortnightly.
Looking at their website, it does seem to be alternately weekly and fortnightly.
Just whenever they've got an episode done maybe?
Like February 4, but then February 18, then Feb 19, then Feb 25, then March 11, then March 18.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But one thing I do like about it, it's not just someone talking either. They've got like nice sound effects and like they actually immerse you in the story because by doing the second person and like the immersive sound effects, they want you to feel like you're the person.
Awesome.
Whilst trying to guess who you are.
I look forward to it.
Cool.
Great.
All right. Well, that's us for this week. So just a quick recap. Liz, you recommended...
Imagined Life.
I recommended NRI, A Woman Podcast. And Patrick, you recommended...
Revisionist History with Malcolm Gladwell.
So if you want to hear what we think of those, join us next week. And if you have any... podcasts that you want us to have a listen to.
And they don't have to be your own. You could have just discovered something that's awesome and you want us to talk about it.
There are a few ways you can do that. You can go to our website, thatsnotcanon.com/castology. There is a form there that you can fill out or you can reach out on any of the social medias. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, that's the one that exists. or you can give us a 5-star review and leave the review as a podcast that you want us to listen to.
Yep, absolutely. On Apple Podcasts.
The best way to do it.
Best way to do it.
Ever.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I have been your castologist at CNC Weber here with fellow castologists.
Liz Best.
And
Patrick Shearer.
And we'll catch you next time, everyone.
Bye.
Keep listening to podcasts.
Bye-bye.
Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes, we're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
relatable.
Relatable. We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like.
And a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.